my privilege to be here. My name is Blair Martin, and it is my task to read from the Bible this evening and bring to you the message of the gospel, God's good news for mankind. Perhaps it's a message you've heard about, but you've never really considered seriously. Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to hear God's word and to listen to the message of God's word, which is all about the Lord Jesus. I've not come from Scotland to preach a religion. The Christians that gather here are not interested in you joining some kind of religious church. We have come to preach the gospel. We have come to make known the way of salvation through faith, which is alone found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is good to be here. If there's anything at all that is said in the next 40 minutes or so that you are not sure about, you don't agree with, or you maybe like to ask some questions, as I've said over and over again, don't suffer in silence. Don't let another meeting or another series of meetings go by and you're still in your sins and on the way to hell. Please seek the Lord. Get the matter sorted. Flee to Christ. Trust in Him. It is now time to seek the Lord. There are numerous leaflets on the table in the cloakroom, some very interesting, helpful leaflets that really deal with the matter of the gospel. There's some CDs as well, and if you would like a Bible, I have Bibles that I can pass on to you free of charge. So thank you for coming. I'd like to read, as we always do, from the Bible. This is God's word, and it is Matthew chapter 22. I would like to read from tonight. Matthew chapter 22. Thinking about a question that the Lord Jesus himself asked. In Matthew 22. In fact, this chapter is really all about questions. There are a number of questions that have been asked, that have been put to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is really hated by the religious leaders of his day. They hate him without a cause, and they are constantly trying to trip the Lord Jesus up. They're trying to ask him questions and make it difficult for the Lord Jesus to answer. But amazingly, in Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus exhausted all the questions. He answers all the questions, some questions that really did not deserve an answer, but the Lord Jesus still answered them. And then at the end of the chapter, the Lord Jesus asks the Pharisees, the so-called religious leaders of the day, he asks them a very, very important question. So we'll read from verse 41 of Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ?" Now that is our short reading tonight. Not a complicated, ambiguous kind of passage to understand. Just a simple question. And mind you, the answer that you give tonight, the answer that you give and the answer that you live by and the answer that you die by will determine where you will be forever. What think you of Christ? Five simple words that form our question that demands an answer tonight. This is life's big question. There is no more serious a question in the whole of the world. I know there are serious issues going on tonight. I know that there are problems in every continent. I know there are difficulties. I know that the financial powerful men of our nations are tearing their hair out. I know there are problems and more questions than answers all over the globe. But I say without exaggeration, this question that I have asked from the lips of the Lord Jesus, spoken by the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago in Matthew 22, when he had exhausted all the questions, when every question that had been put to him was adequately, perfectly answered by the Lord Jesus turns to those who were putting him through the Inquisition And he says to them, what think ye of Christ? In our language, what do you think of Christ? And I want to put it to you tonight. God's looking into our hearts and he knows exactly what we think, but we need to be reminded of this big issue. We need to be constantly considering life's vital, ultimate question because so much hinges on it. Our present joy, our present satisfaction, our present contentment, our enjoyment of the life that we have can only be full and abundant by coming to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. By coming to see him as the Bible really presents him. We live in a world, sadly, that has a warped and twisted image of who Jesus Christ really is. He is so misunderstood. He is so misrepresented. We live in a world that is really anti-Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is viewed by some as only a historical figure. Some refer to him as a good man. I want to present him this evening as the Bible really portrays him. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of sinners. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen, sent one who came from God. He came from heaven to die on a cross, to deal with sin, and to provide salvation. What do you think of Christ? Where do you stand? Because, you know, people will never be in heaven because of some sort of general salvation. People will not populate heaven simply because God is a God of love, and he is a God of love. We saw that last night. I hope I made it clear and plain. Does God care is a question that is raised. Is God a God of love? Well, affirmatively, absolutely, he is. He has proved that in the sending of his Son. He has proved that in the way he has spoken and organized your life to listen to his word. We dealt with that last night. But heaven will not be populated just because God is a God of love. And he will never turn anyone away, and he will fill heaven with everybody that has ever lived. That is a common misconception. Not everybody will be in heaven. The only people who will walk the street of heaven are people who have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so important to individually, to personally consider this question, to personally accept what the Bible says about yourself and accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross that you might be saved. What think ye of Christ? Let us look this evening at this question. I want to think about three reasons why you should consider this question. And it is my deepest longing, more than anything else, God knows my heart, it is my deepest longing above everything else that in this meeting in Wallyford tonight, that your answer will be, what do I think of Christ? He is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My sins deserved eternal death. But Jesus died for me. What do I think of Christ? I love him. He's my Savior. He loved me. He died for me. He lives for me. He's coming back for me. I'm longing that you would appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ as many in this room have already come to appreciate and appropriate the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think about the true identity of Jesus Christ. Some people today would still regard the Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, as an imposter. Some people would actually try and deny that he was ever here at all, but history testifies Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, the carpenter of Nazareth. He was here. He lived. It's a historical fact. But the Bible, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, teaches us that God has got one message for mankind. That God has got one solution to the problem of sin. That God has got one Savior for sinners. We have all sinned. Our greatest need is to have our sins forgiven. We were all born with an evil nature. We were all born with a bias towards evil. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. And God took the initiative. And God enacted that great plan of salvation by sending his sinless Son into the world to go to the cross. I've quoted the verse. It's been upon my heart all day. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. That's why he was sent, to go to the cross, to die for sinners, and provide a right basis for God to come out and save sinners who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful, wonderful truth is this. As you read through the Bible, as you listen to the gospel, you see clearly the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He existed before Bethlehem. In a few weeks' time, it will be Christmas 24/7. Already the trees are up in some stores. Already adverts are bombarding us on a daily basis. It gets earlier every year, but Christ, the Messiah, is the Son of God. The baby that was born at Bethlehem, the child that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, that never to be forgotten momentous day at Bethlehem, he is the Son of God who existed before that. And this is so important. There's a man called John Newton who was an evil slave trader. He wrote probably the most famous hymn that has ever been written, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton also wrote other hymns, and one hymn that he wrote is really from this verse that we've been reading. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest until you think rightly of him. So I'm labouring this tonight. It is so important to adjust your mind and to think seriously what the Bible is teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ? The Lord Jesus one day posed a question to his disciples in this very gospel, chapter number 16, at a place called Caesarea Philippi. He said to his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say? What is the popular opinion? Who do the people say I am? And you know, Peter, one of the disciples, he was quite outspoken, and he didn't wait too long. He said, well, Lord, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're one of the prophets, Jeremiah, Elijah. Someone says that, you know, you're one of the old prophets. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, he said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You see, God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they are interested in what you think and what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody drifts into heaven. Anyone that is in heaven has taken this matter seriously. Anyone that is saved understands the holiness of God, understands the sinfulness of their life, and turns away from their sins in repentance, and turns to the Lord Jesus, who is a willing and able, fit, qualified Savior, because of who he is and because of what he has done. He is the Son of God. That's what Peter said. When Peter was put on the spot by the Lord Jesus, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the Messiah. What think ye of Christ? I believe you're the Messiah. You're the promised Messiah. You're the one that the nation of Israel we've been looking for centuries, you're the Christ, you're the promised anointed one, but you're also the Son of the living God. Oh, Peter couldn't have got any higher marks that day. Are you clear about this tonight? If you are in this meeting and you do not absolutely believe that Jesus is the true Messiah, that Jesus of Nazareth, who went to the cross at Calvary, was the Son of God, if you do not believe that the Lord Jesus died for ungodly sinners, he died for God's glory, he put away sin, he was sacrificed for sins not his own, he's the sinless Savior. If you do not believe that, if you are short or deficient in any of these areas, you will never be in heaven. You'll be separated from God. Because believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus is all about accepting and trusting. You might not understand everything, but accepting and trusting that God's word is true. And the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross was absolutely satisfactory as far as God was concerned. And as far as we are concerned, we just rest on a finished work and receive the forgiveness of sins and receive eternal life and receive the joy of salvation and a right relationship with God, because we've come to consider, we've come to think, we've come to ponder, and then with our thoughts and with our answers to the question, we put our confidence and trust and the God of heaven who's provided this so great salvation. And we give God credit for his truth. And we give Christ his rightful place as the Savior that he is. And we accept God's verdict about our sins. And we just come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great day for Peter. A great day. I think he lived in the good of that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, upon the rock of your confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Again, I ask you tonight, this is such a vital question. Your whole eternal future hinges on this question. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? Whose son is he? In 1 John chapter 4, the statement is made that the Father, as God, sent the Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Savior of the world. He sent him to Calvary to die. It was God that sent him. And the Lord Jesus willingly went. And whosoever, the person, the individual, that confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a moment in the journey of your life when you've got alone with God in a busy world and just had time to think the meaning of life, the existence of God, the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal destiny, where you're going, where you'll be? We're all going somewhere. Oh, my friend, heaven or hell for eternity. And it's all bound up in what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ? He's the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God. But he became a real man. Bethlehem to Calvary's cross, 33 and a half years or so. And as a real man, he never sinned. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? As a real man, he never told any lies. He never had any wrong thoughts. He never had any words that he regretted speaking. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him there is no sin. Even his enemies. You could write a gospel message from the words of the enemies of Christ. The man, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, said, I betrayed innocent blood. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor that signed his death warrant, said, I find in him no fault at all. Even the demons The demons said he's the Holy One of God. He's a sinless man. Mind you, these great truths have ramifications. Depending on what we do with this information, depending on what we do with this truth, will determine where we'll be forever. You ever thought where you're going to be 100 years from tonight? 1,000 years? 1,000,000 years? Old Newton again wrote, when we've been in heaven 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise when first we had begun. We've got a soul, every one of us, possessors of an eternal soul that'll either be with Christ forever or without him forever. And this is God's criteria. This is God's way of salvation. This is God's big question for us to consider tonight. May your answer be affirmative. May your answer acquiesce with Scripture. What think ye of Christ? He's the eternal Son of God, and he's a sinless man. He's a sinless man. Mind you, it had to be the Son of God. And it had to be a sinless Savior to meet my need as a sinner. Do you know the wonderful truth of the gospel is this? God's good news, God's way of salvation is all based on the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. You see, the Son of God came from heaven and became a real sinless, perfect man. But because he's the Son of God, and because he's a perfect sinless man, that qualified him to be the Savior that mankind needed. We were all on the same level, all in the same boat, all sinners by practice, by nature and by practice. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't get ourselves out of the mess of our sin, of our own making. We needed someone to rescue us from danger, to deliver us, to save us. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. And he was able to save us because he didn't have any of the sin we had. And he was different. He wasn't born like us in the sense he wasn't conceived like us. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. He lived unlike any other person. And he went into death on the cross to die for our sins, Paul says to the Corinthians, and to put away sin, the Hebrew writer says, by the sacrifice of himself. And Peter, and another part of the Bible says, Christ hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. My friends in the meeting tonight, listen up to this. The Lord Jesus is able to save you because of who he is. And he's able to save you because of what he is. He is sinless. And he's able to save you because of what he did on the cross. And he's able to save you because he's a risen Savior. A risen Savior. Because Calvary was not the end. The cross was not the end. He died. He went into the grave. But 3 days later, up from the grave, Christ arose. He's a living Savior. And for 40 days after his resurrection, he showed himself to be truly alive. After his suffering, by many infallible proofs, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is no myth. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is no fake. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was proved because of material evidence. The stone was rolled away and the grave clothes of the Lord Jesus were lying in their original shape, convolution, and he wasn't there. But there's eyewitness evidence. And eyewitness evidence is this, that dozens of people saw him. And then ultimately, at one time, above 500 people saw him. Hundreds of people saw the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm no lawyer, but that's conclusive to me. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is an absolute fact. And again, that has got serious implications. on us listening, on you considering tonight. Because you're either going to have to come to this conclusion. If Christ rose from the dead and is alive, I must either trust him for telling the truth or dismiss him as an imposter. And God will hold you to that. He's able to save because of his death, burial, resurrection. He's able to save as well because he loves you. He's willing to save you. He's never turned a sincere seeker away. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He says, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. This is a Saviour who loves you and died that you might be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, what think ye of him? He's the Saviour that you need. He's the Son of God. He's the sinless one. He's the Saviour. But you know, the amazing thing is this as well. Have you ever thought what it cost him on the cross to provide salvation for guilty men and women like you and me? Have you ever thought what it meant to the Lord Jesus Christ to go down into the depths of unimaginable suffering at the cross? The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. That means he's co-equal. There's no inferiority. And yet he willingly became a man, became a servant. And he went to the cross knowing everything that would happen at the cross. That just proves his love. He never turned back. He never sought to deviate from the pathway that was leading him to the cross. We say, I suppose, we certainly, I remember my old grandmother used to say, if anything happened unexpectedly in the neighbourhood, she'd say, it's a good thing we don't know what's round the next corner. It's a good thing we don't know tomorrow's events today. The Lord Jesus could never say that. The Lord Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. And out of love for men and women, and out of obedience to the God, his Father, he went to the cross and he endured the scourging of his back even before being nailed to the cross. He endured the crushing blows of the crown of thorns on his head being deeper and deeper platted into his head as sticks and blows rained upon his head and upon his face. His face was marred more than any man. The beard was torn from his face and the flesh as well. He was bathed in spittle. He was maltreated. He was so viciously, violently abused. And then a cross of wood, heavy cross of wood, was placed on his back and he carried it outside the city of Jerusalem to the place of execution called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of a skull, Skull Hill. And upon that cross, he was nailed alive to it at 9 o'clock in the morning by his hands and his feet. This had been prophesied 1,000 years beforehand, before the Romans crucified their victims. Before crucifixion had ever been brought into operation, it was decreed, it was prophesied, Messiah, the Messiah, would have his hands and his feet pierced. And you know, that is just one of dozens of prophecies in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was born, that were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus when he came. Just underlines the veracity of the Word of God and the reliability of it is unlike any other book. And so the Lord Jesus Christ suffered 6 hours on the cross, 6 hours in the burning heat of the Eastern day. The sun then stopped shining at 12 noon. And for 3 hours, God in his unmitigated judgment, his undiluted wrath, poured out his hatred against sin, The Lord Jesus Christ suffered for sins not his own. What do you think about that? This is all part of the gospel. What think ye of Christ, his person and his work? Do you know, when the Apostle Paul, years later, went with this mission to preach the gospel all over the world, he arrived at the Greek city of Corinth, and for 18 months he stayed there. And what did he do in, day out? He determined to know nothing among the Corinthians save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ, the Savior Jesus, Christ the Messiah, him crucified, his person and his work. And for 18 months he made known the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he debated and preached the gospel with Jews and Greeks, with the intelligentsia of the day and with the illiterate. He preached Christ. This is a universal message. And its center is Christ, and its circumference is Christ. Christianity, being saved, it's all about Christ. It's not about coming to a hall. It's not about being a member of a church. It's not about a creed. It's not about a set of rules. It's about a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It's believing in the word of God. It's resting on the work of Christ. It's coming from darkness to light. It's coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. What do you think of these things? Because the Lord Jesus Christ endured the wrath of God, and he endured the awful shame and pain of crucifixion. And then at the end of those 6 hours, he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And he entered into death a victor, a triumphant victor. Death didn't overtake him. He went into death. Nobody else can do that. The Lord Jesus, through death, destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He put away sin. He dealt with the devil. He obeyed God. He died for God's glory. And he opened up a way to heaven that was closed for sinners up until that moment. "I am the way," the Lord Jesus said, "the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." What do you think of Christ? Who he is and what he has done? Mind you, as I said at the beginning of the meeting, your answer to this question, what you think and what you believe and what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ, God will hold you to that forever. What you actually think, what you actually are, saved or lost, in Christ or without him, believing, resting on what the Bible has revealed about the Lord Jesus, or dismissing it as irrelevant, God will hold you to that. God who made us knows us. And if you are sitting here tonight, and the answer to this question, what think you of Christ, is not very much. I don't care. He's irrelevant. So what? That's the case. The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And if you say no to Christ, and if you dismiss the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Not for me, not this man," that's the way it will be. He'll say to you, "I never knew you, because what you have sown, you shall reap." Serious, serious business. Thank you for listening. May God bless his word. What think you of Christ? What a question. May God give you grace this evening to ponder it. Here's something to think about. If you're really interested in being right with God, give the phone a miss. Give the TV a miss. Give trivial things a miss. Seek the Lord tonight. Get the matter sorted. Don't allow the devil. Don't allow anyone to spoil this meeting as God's speaking to you. Don't allow anyone to distract you. Because I really, really believe now's the time to be saved. Now's the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Shall we pray? Father, we